Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our new sermon series this Sunday called Chosen. We are looking at the book of Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 4. The first three chapters deal with grand theological and doctrinal themes. Starting in chapter 4, Paul tells his readers how to live the Christian life. He gets very practical. He continues to drive home the theme of unity, though, among the believers. Unity in attitude and unity in faith. He then tells us that each of us have been given a gift from God to be used to build up the church. He says we have been equipped for service, which sounds a little more than just attending church occasionally. Pray for God to use you and your gift to benefit the church and others. I encourage you to find a family of believers to be part of. You experience the fullness of God and His fellowship when you surround yourself with fellow Christians. May God bless you richly this week, and thank you for listening.
Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall show forth your praise.
Children's Time is led by Holly Beery this morning.
Good morning, friends. Okay, I got something to show you. Who knows what this is? Not an egg. Not an acorn, but you're close. Close. Does not have chocolate, and I would not bite into this. Here's a hint. It came out of a vegetable. An avocado seed, right? So what's gonna grow from this avocado seed if I plant it? Is just an avocado gonna pop out of the ground, or you think it, a tree, right? A tree. I have an avocado tree. See that? So I planted an avocado seed, and this is what grew. It took a long time, but. In our reading from Ephesians, Paul writes that Christians are rooted and established in God's love. Do you think this tree is rooted and established? Yeah, but it still has a long way to go, right? It's got to grow a lot before I get avocados off of it, right? If I were to take this tree out of the pot, you would see the roots, right? You might be able to see them on the bottom if I don't make a mess. You kind of see the white things coming out of there? Those are the roots of the tree. And the roots do what? Why are roots important?
Because it makes it grow.
It helps the tree get water. It makes the tree grow, right? Because it has to get water and nutrients. And that the roots help it do that, right? What else do the roots do? What do you think?
They help us out of the water.
Suck up the water. Eventually I might get avocados, right? What about if I planted this tree outside and it was really windy? What would the roots do? Right? The roots keep it nice and strong so it doesn't just blow over in the wind, right? So what would happen if I did not give my tree any soil? You think it would die? Okay, what would happen if I put a blanket over this tree and I did not let it see any sunlight?
It would die.
It would die, right? Okay, what if I decided to stop watering it?
It would die.
It would die, right? Just like this tree, the Bible tells us that we are rooted and grounded in God's love. God keeps us alive. He gives us the things we need, like air and water and food and clothes. God makes us strong, right? Paul also tells us that God's love is so deep, so long, and so wide that it's more than we can even understand. What is the deepest thing that you can think of? Maybe the ocean, right? God's love is deeper than that. What is the longest thing you can think of?
A whale.
A whale, that's a good one. God's love is longer than that. Dolphins too. What is the widest thing you can think of?
Space.
Space. Wow, you guys are good. God's love is wider than that. Did you know that? God loves us so much, there's nothing we can do or say that would make him stop loving us. His love is deeper than our mistakes, and his love is longer than all of our sins. And he provided this by stretching out his arms on the cross so wide that all of our sins could be forgiven. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So let's make sure we put our roots down in the love of Jesus and let him nurture us so that we can grow big and strong and tall like our trees, right? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Help us to be rooted in his love. Help us to stay firmly connected to you so that we can grow in our faith. Thank you for your love. Amen.
Our senior choir sings the Gospel Light.
He sent his Son of love to the world from heaven above.
Carol Barber reads our morning scriptures, followed by portions of Pastor Cobb's sermon, Chosen Untapped Power.
The first lesson is from 2 Corinthians, reading from chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. 3 times I have pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The second lesson is from Colossians, the first chapter, reading verses 9 through 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, choir. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3 if you want to turn there. Hey, we're in Ephesians chapter 3, and it contains my favorite prayer of the Bible. If you are wondering, when you've got family members, friends, and you seem almost helpless what to do or what to be helping them through a very difficult circumstance, it says that, you know, we're praying for you. Sometimes just doesn't seem like it's quite enough. We seem like, man, we wish we could do more. This is the prayer for you. This is the prayer right here. If you're wondering what to pray for someone when they're going through difficult circumstances, when something has happened unexpected and they seemed almost overwhelmed, this is the prayer right here for you. There's a show that we watched when I was growing up, kind of, was kind of something I identified with because it was a home improvement, you know, a family with 3 boys. I'm the oldest of 3 boys. And of course, Tim the Toolman Taylor always talked about more power. And he'd give his grunt and he'd always get into trouble with trying to make things, you know, more powerful than what they should be. Well, when we look at this passage here from Ephesians chapter 1 to Ephesians chapter 6, in Paul's writings, we read Colossians this morning, as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 12 there. Paul reminds us of the power that we have available to us. I called it untapped power. I don't think we tap into it enough. And this is a prayer that Paul gives to remind us of the power and the things that we can be praying for in the ones that are around us. And I'm going to start with verse 7 this morning and end with verse 21. If you want to follow along or mark it, I would highlight this prayer for my Bible in the future. He says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. He says he realized the talent and ability he has for Christ comes through the power of God, and each one of us has those unique abilities. That's what makes the church what it is today, when all those abilities and powers are working together. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, Paul constantly carried with him that he was not one of the original 12, and in fact, he persecuted the church until Jesus, you know, came to him on that road to Damascus. But he says, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles. This is his gift, the boundless riches of Christ. And to make plain to everyone the ministration of this mystery, which is now the Jews are welcoming God's kingdom just like the Gentiles are welcome just like the Jews, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. There's no backup plan in God's kingdom. The church is his instrument to deliver the message of the gospel. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Paul's in prison. He's suffering because of being kept from people, but he didn't want them to be worried. Don't worry about me. Worry about the church. Now we get to the prayer, and you'll see the depth of emotion that he has for the Ephesus church. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. He gives you the image that he's in his prison cell on his knees praying for them, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see the word power mentioned from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 6. And Paul wants us to be reminded that we have this power available to us through the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds us that this power is not our power, that we shouldn't be fully reliant on our own power to make it through each day and through this life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, meaning our bodies, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. He says there's this power that lives in us through the Holy Spirit, and it's there in this fragile body, this fragile temple. Why do we need that power? He says, because we're hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Doesn't that sound like life? Man, different weeks, different days you go through, man, it seems like everything's going your way. You hit every stoplight on green and everything. Nobody pulls in front of you. You get to work in just exact way you want. And then there are days out of nowhere, boom, something comes up and it crushes us. It impresses upon us. It discourages us. We feel like we've been left out, but God reminds this power is not of our own, it's his power. Jesus reminded us before he ascended into heaven, he says that he was giving us power. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Oh, now we have power, not just to live life, but to be his witnesses. But too many of us, we don't plug in, we don't charge up, we don't remind ourselves of that power. We need to plug into his word. We need to find time each day to thank God and pray and give him praise in our life. We need to find times like this that we gather together either on Sunday or on Wednesday nights just to encourage and build one another up, that we have these charge stations. They say that's one of the problems right now with electric vehicles. There's not very many charge stations out there for people to plug into, and that their range is limited. I would say the same thing about the Christian. Our range is very limited unless we charge up, plug in, fuel up. Jesus told his disciples the same thing. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's the first thing that Paul prayed for them. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That was the first thing that he prayed for, that his fellow Ephesian church members would know the power of God in their life. That's what we can pray for each other when we know they're going through struggling circumstances. But then he tells us the second thing in verse 17. He then prays so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. I loved Holly's children's time this morning. He says that he wants us to dwell and take up residence and be rooted and grounded in him. He wants to feel at home. He wants to feel welcome in our temple. He wants to feel welcome in his company. My grandma Cobb had a saying about fish and company that after 3 days, they stink. Because you go into somebody's house, You know, you're kind of a little bit on eggshells. You don't want to go, you know, rummaging through the cabinets. You don't want to leave your, you know, your dirty clothes all over the floor. You want to be respectful of them. But after 3 days, you start maybe to rub on each other, or maybe you let things slip a little bit and tensions start to rise up. What Paul is praying to his Ephesian fellow Christians, he says he wants Christ to dwell in our hearts, to take up residence, to feel at home, to kick off his shoes and feel free to rummage all the way through our house, our spiritual house, to see if there's anything that we need. But I think too often we give the Holy Spirit a guest room, a side place over to the side, and that we'll get with you when we need you. We might give him the fold-out couch to lay on for a while, but we don't want you here, especially if we're long-term. We'll get a hold of you when we need you. But see, the Holy Spirit is not renting space in our lives. He's taken up permanent residence. And when he takes up residence, he wants to put down roots and wants us to be grounded in our faith. And I loved how Holly said that about a tree going down deep to get the nutrients it needs in times of drought and have its strength in times of storms. When Betty and I were first married, we lived in Cincinnati, and I poured concrete. I poured footers and foundations for houses and understood the importance of making sure that you had the proper rebar and you had the proper, you know, concrete that in there, because if you didn't have a strong foundation, you would not have a strong house. One person put it this way: if you don't go deep, you can't go high. Meaning if you don't build a strong foundation, you can't build your life very hard before it topples over. Jesus said the same thing at the very end of his Sermon on the Mount. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. If we're not plugging into the power, if we're not digging deep roots, what we have built, if we did not go deep, it will not go high. And unlike our weather predictors, anytime that we know that there's a storm coming a week in advance, they start warning us. A couple days in advance, they might put a winter weather advisory out in front from this time until this time, so we can all go out and clear out every grocery store in the area. They will then give us a warning and almost have it down to the minute of when it's going to arrive. But you know, the storms of life don't usually come with advisories and warnings. They come with a phone call. In just the last 2 weeks, very good friends of ours, these are the calls that I've gotten. Russ, I've been diagnosed with prostate cancer. I've got surgery next week. Would you pray for me? Yeah, buddy. We've known each other for over 30 years. Those storms of life come without any warning from them. We better have deep roots. We better have a strong foundation. We better have a strong group of people around us, because our house needs to be built that God takes up permanent residence in our life. And he affects every room. I think we have rooms in our house that we say are off limits. We have closets that we hide stuff so we don't want people to see our house. We want to keep it perfectly clean. And we keep those spiritual closets. God knows those spiritual closets. And he tells us, let me take up permanent residence. I'll deal with them. I will encourage you. I will help you through the storms of life. And then the third thing that he tells us that he prays for with our people, and that we need to be praying, we pray for power, that they'll know God's power. We pray that God will take up residence and that our friends will develop deep spiritual roots and be grounded. But then he says, I want them to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He wants us to grasp the greatness of God's love and the greatness of God being in our lives. There is no tool that can measure the love of God. We have pressure indicators to see how much pressure is in our tire. We have blood pressure to check our blood pressure. We can check our weight. We can check all these different measurements. But Paul is right. He says, I want them to grasp. I want them to really know the love of God, that it's unmeasurable, that no matter what mistakes we made, no matter how many failures we have, God's love overcomes it all. But I'm afraid our love for each other is like the shallow end of the pool. It's there, but it doesn't go very deep. One disagreement, one discouragement, one time that we, you know, something doesn't happen the way that we want it, and then boy, they're gone. I'm thankful God's love is not that way. I think that's why Paul's praying for each one of us. That's why he puts that prayer, that we can then extend that love to those that are around us. That we can put things in the past and let them live there and stay there and never go back to them again. But he wants us just not to say it or comprehend it. He wants us to fully know it personally. You can read books about God's love. You can memorize verses about God's love. But he wants us to truly experience it in our lives. That's what Paul's praying for right here. It's important for us to pray for healing. It's important to pray for people's physical circumstances. But Paul is praying for our spiritual well-being, the power of God, the presence of God, and the love and the fullness of God, that it permeates every part of our mind, our soul, and our body, that we don't have segmented areas that are off limits to him. It's like when we were mixing concrete, when I worked for Bill Brewer, and then I've mixed little concrete around the house when I've done it. I just don't pour in the water, dump in the quick mix, you know, quickcrete, and let it go. I stir it. I try to get all the air pockets. I try to make it thoroughly mixed in so every aspect of the concrete is in every part of every area that I'm pouring the concrete in. That's what Paul is saying here. I want you to full experience the greatness and fullness of God in every aspect of your life. And then he gives us the last two verses. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. We ask for simple things. God has greater things in store for us. We're living in a van down by the river, in the words of Chris Farley on the Saturday Night Live skit. And God has a mansion on the hill for us. We pray for things that, you know, we don't think that God could ever do. We just pray for the little things. We're using a hand screwdriver and he wants to give us a power drill. It reminds me of the last words of William Wallace before they went to fight their first battle. And he said, would you guys go out and would you fight with me? One soldier says, fight against that? No, we will run and we will live. I think a lot of us are that way. No, I don't want to chance it. I don't want to risk. I'm going to rely on my own power and just kind of keep my head down. William Wallace says this, I fight and you may die. Run and you'll live, at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom? I think that's the same with God. Would you risk it all the days from now until then, just one chance to step out on faith and see what great things God has in store for you? But what do? We quibble about little things. And that's another thing that he says later on in the movie. He tells all the barons and the Bruces, he says, you're so concerned with squabbling for the scraps from Longshank's table that you've missed your God-given right to something better. That's what Paul's writing here. He says, we pray for simple things. God's got greater things in store for us.